And that ought to be the prayer of each of our hearts. Whatever it be, whatever you want of me, God, here I am. Just use me. And that's what we have with us this morning, is a missionary family who has been willing to let God use them, first in the country of Mexico, and now looking to reach into Venezuela as well. So we're glad to have the Chacon family with us today. And Brother Chacon's going to come and just give a brief review of his ministry, and then he's going to preach for us. So please come, brother.
Great. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you, church. And what a blessing it is to be here. My name is Carlos Chacon, my wife Mary, my daughter Celeste. She's 9 years old. And we come from Elgin, Illinois, from the Northwest Bible Baptist Church. God has called us to preach the gospel to the Spanish-speaking world. We have been full-time in ministry, serving for 22 years now in outreach and evangelism and tent ministry and in church planting, and sometimes in the United States, sometimes in Mexico, setting up our home base in Mexico for many years, and now reaching out into the country of Venezuela. And we spoke about this during the Sunday school hour, about our ministry, how Venezuela is a very unique mission field opportunity, a country that has had an economic crisis, a socialism collapse, and has removed all American missionaries, closing the American United States Embassy, and thereby leaving this country with absolutely not one missionary whatsoever even allowed to enter. And they have national pastors, they have churches, and of course this is a time where they are very vulnerable, and it is important for us to go there. I enter the country as a Mexican citizen. We are a Mexican-American, Hispanic-American family that has dual citizenship. I have dual citizenship, and I am able to enter the country of Venezuela with my Mexican passport. I'm born in Illinois, so I'm American, but I am also Mexican, and that helps me to go in and out of this country where other missionaries cannot go. And so we are trying to preach the gospel with large scale, outdoor, open air, stadium crusades, big evangelistic rallies, big evangelistic meetings, to reap the harvest of souls during this time where the Bible talks about the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. So I am now partnering with national pastors and churches in Venezuela to come with them and reap the harvest in evangelistic meetings and revivals and stadiums, and also helping them with different missionary projects and different local church projects that they have that we can try to do. I mentioned about how we're trying to get scriptures and Bibles and New Testaments and John and Romans and tracts into the Amazon region, which is southern Venezuela. I've been there already. I preach in some of their tribal village churches. So I'm trying to help them actually print the Word of God and send it to them and take it to them. And in the north, where the people talk Spanish, we are having evangelistic meetings and gospel crusades and big rallies in the cities in this devastated country with extreme hardships and poverty. I talked about how they have a lack of gasoline. They have to stay overnight in the line sometimes. Sometimes they have no water, shortages of medicine. Sometimes the grocery stores don't have any food and things like this. And everything turns into a black market system, which makes everything illegal and just a lot of abuse, a lot of crime, a lot of corruption. So I have been to Venezuela now 5 times. I spend about 2 to 3 weeks each time I go, in the last year and a half or so. And my ministry in Mexico also, I will go next month and spend about a month in Mexico. So I continue. See, I'm adding to my ministry. My original mission field was Mexico. I've been in Mexico many years preaching and all over different parts of the country, doing church planting in the villages, doing tent ministry. We have a big 1,000-seat tent. And I have another big 1,000-seat tent in the United States. And I have a trailer, and we have accessories and so forth. And I talked about how we're trying to just renew a lot and replace a lot of our accessories. We need repairs on our trailer. I need to buy a new PA system and just different things, lighting system, basically our accessories for the tent. We just need to renew that after 22 years of so much traveling. The axles break and bend, the bearings and the jack, everything that could be damaged on the trailer is damaged. And so we just need to take some time to visit churches. We are at 70% of our missionary support, so I am also raising my support and finishing raising my support. I had gone to Mexico just many years ago, just under-supported, and as the ministry developed and grew, we see the need to raise more support, and so that's what we are doing now. And so I'll be at the back table after the service. If you have questions, you can take a prayer card. Please pray for our ministry, and I do have videos, other videos that I have that speak. Particularly, I've got one video called Inside Venezuela, and that shows, it's a 17-minute, almost like a documentary, shows what life is like every day inside Venezuela. And so you can see through our materials and our internet outreach there about how you can see different videos, our stadium crusades, revivals, and ministry abroad, and so forth. Take your Bibles, please. Notice the Word of God, Romans chapter 10. I want you to take your Bibles for a moment and see Romans chapter 10. And take a moment and see, and we'll read from Romans chapter 10 in the Word of God. And I will read a scripture in Romans chapter 10. I want you to notice, please. I will read, and you can look along the Word of God silently, and I will read it. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I want you to notice our text verse in verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I want to speak this morning on lessons of faith. Lessons of faith. Let's pray for a moment, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your blessings today. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you would bless, give us the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God today, and speak to our hearts and challenge us, Lord, and bless the message. Use your Word, and we thank you, Lord, to help us to broaden our vision for missions and to increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice, as we read verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Did you know that the Bible has many principles? You see, the world wants to tell us about faith. The world wants to tell us about wisdom, and the world wants to tell us about love. And they say you should have love, you should have wisdom, you should have faith. The world wants to tell us about these things, but the Bible is like a dictionary. Did you know that the Bible defines its own principles? So when the Bible talks about something, the world will not know. The world, the Bible says, men are spiritually discerned. They cannot know. So the world will twist something or change something and try to redefine it. And the world will try to tell us and say, well, you don't have love, or you don't have faith, or you need to use wisdom, and you're not being wise. But the Bible tells us what these things are. The Bible says, tells us what love is in Corinthians. The Bible says, love worketh no ill. The Bible says, love vaunteth not itself. And so the Bible tells us these things. What love is, the Bible tells us what wisdom is. In the book of James, wisdom is first peaceable and pure and peaceable and meek and with meekness of wisdom. And so the Bible tells us what wisdom is. And it says that we can ask of God wisdom. And the Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture, it tells us about faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us what faith is. So let's look for a moment in Hebrews chapter 11. Take your Bibles and notice. The Bible tells us what faith is. I want you to notice, please, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says what faith is. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's a definition. It tells us what faith is. You know, growing up in the Illinois, Chicago area, When I was 11 or 12 years old, I was in school, and maybe much like here, perhaps in the winter time, it can become very cold, and it can become, you know, below zero, and it might have a lot of snow, and it's just a cold winter season. And so that's how we were in Illinois growing up. And I had a friend in school, and during recess time, my friend said, "Let's go outside." And I said, "No, it's too cold. I don't want to go." It's, you know, it was one of those times, it's below zero, and, "Oh, let's go outside," my friend was saying, and I said, "No, I don't want to go. It's too cold." And he said, "You know, if you say in your mind 10 times, it's not cold, it's not cold, it's not cold, if you say it, then you're not going to be cold." And I said, "What?" I said, "That's not true. That can't be so," and so forth. And he said, "Come on, just go and try it and say it." So I went out there with him, and I bundled up and got my coat and my jacket, and I went out there, and I said 10 times, I said, "It's not cold, it's not cold, I'm not cold, I'm not cold. Brrr, I'm not cold, I'm too cold, I'm going back inside." And so I went immediately back inside, and it didn't work. It didn't work, my friend said. "You don't have faith. You have to say it with faith." So here's a 12-year-old taking advice from another 12-year-old friend that suddenly is a philosopher, theologian, or something, you know, telling what faith is. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that there's a scripture in the Word of God where the Bible talks about after Noah's flood. You know, God made a covenant with Noah, and the scripture talks about after the flood, there will always be seed time and harvest. After the flood, there will always be day and night. The Lord said to Noah, he said, there will always be, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know, the Word of God established the seasons. And God said, there's going to be winter all the time, every year. There's going to be summer, there's going to be cold and heat, there's going to be day and night. It shall not cease, it will never stop. It is established by the Word of God. So the truth of the matter is, if you go outside in the wintertime, it doesn't matter what you say or how many times you repeat anything, you're going to be cold, because the Word of God says there's always cold, there's always going to be winter, there's always going to be night, and there's always going to be day. Faith is not psychological manipulation. Faith is not some kind of mental positive thinking. Faith is not an emotional feeling. Those things are not faith. Faith is what the Word of God says faith is. And faith, to help you understand that verse and this principle, faith is believing the Word of God. It's trusting God. It's not just believing in God, but it's believing what God said. Believing what God says. That's what faith is. Believing and trusting what the Lord has said. Trusting His Word. That's what faith is. So when you read the Bible, when you read the Word of God, living by principles, faith is a conviction that you have. There are choices that you make and decisions. It's a conviction that you have. And you say, "Well, I have a scripture right here, and I will stand by that scripture. I will stand on the Word of God." It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter what anybody says, or even the news media, or even people in leadership and in politics. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It matters what the Word of God says. And you stand by it. That is a conviction. When God told Moses, God said, "Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. Tell him, I am, hath sent you." So Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he brings the message, and he says, "I come on behalf of God, of my God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I am." And he says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "I know not this God." He said, "You know what? Double the work. Let's put the Israelites to double the workload. In fact, let them get their own material. We used to bring it for them. Let them get their own material and double the work." Well, did Moses obey God? Did he do the right thing? Yes, he did, because the Lord told him to. Did Moses obey God and trust God? Yes, he did. He operated in faith, believing and trusting God, in delivering the message. But he made things worse, because now the Israelites have double the work, and they got to get their own material. The Bible even says they wanted to stone him. The Israelites wanted to stone Moses. Can you imagine the Israelites saying, Moses, why did you come here? Why did you say you should have left things as they were? You're making things worse. You're ruining it for us. Did Moses do the right thing or did he do the wrong thing? Well, Moses did the right thing because he obeyed God. You see, faith does not mean that everything's going to be okay. Faith means that you're going to be okay when everything else goes wrong. Faith means that you can stand steadfast in a conviction, in a choice, with a clean conscience, that you can stand, that you know that you have done the right thing without wavering, without doubting. You can know, based on the Word of God, you're doing the right thing because you have a scripture to back it and support it, because you're trusting and obeying the Word of God. So Moses obeyed in faith, and things got worse. We know that God had a plan. God brought the 10 plagues of Egypt, and it was a plan to deliver the Israelites, and we know that. And the Lord exalts himself in salvation and so forth, and by showing his strong and mighty arm and all of these things, God likes faith. The Hebrew children, three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, said to the king, we will not bow down and worship that statue. We will not bow down and worship that idol, because it's against the word of God. It's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, thy God, am a jealous God. There's wood and stone, and they have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Idols are vain, and they that believe in them and make them are like unto them. And so the three Hebrew children said, know thou, O king, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not bow. But if not, we will not bow down. Steadfast conviction, trusting in faith, trusting in the Word of God. I want to encourage you today to increase in your faith, to strengthen your faith. We're all caught up so busy learning new things, trying to improve our lives by many ways, and there's many good books out there, there's many good messages out there, there's many good things that people can learn to improve life. I want to encourage you to improve and increase your faith, improve your faith, improve your life of faith. How? By believing God more, by trusting God more. How do you trust him more and obey him more? Oh, by doing what he says. He has asked us to do things. He has commanded us to do things. The Bible even says things that might be to the world foolish. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, so even it might be foolish to the world because they don't have the same definitions as we do. They do not define principles like we do. We define God's principles with the Word of God. And he says that he likes the foolishness of preaching to save men. That's why we go to the Spanish world. That's why we've been in Mexico. That's why we go to Venezuela to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they go except they be sent? And God likes faith. There was a woman who came and gave two mites, the woman with the two mites. And the Lord said, wait a minute, stop. I want to show you something. Focus the cameras right there. In that offering plate. Did you see that woman give two mites? Well, she gave more than those men and those Pharisees and other men, because they gave out of their abundance, but she hath given from all her living. She gave more sacrificially and percentage-wise. She gave more because she gave all. The Lord is saying that's faith right there. There's a woman in the Word of God. It came, the Canaanite woman said, "Lord, heal my daughter." He said, "Well, my ministry is to the house of Israel." She's a Gentile woman. "My ministry is to the house of Israel." "That's okay, Lord. Listen, the dogs eat the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs. I still believe you can do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be glorious. It doesn't have to be big and fancy. You don't even have to come. Just heal my daughter. I know you can do it. I still believe in you and trust you. Heal my daughter. I'll take the crumbs." The Lord said, "I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel." You see, God likes faith. He's not impressed with things that we do. He's not impressed with our works. He's not impressed with us. He's not impressed with many things. But He's impressed with faith. He likes faith. And He operates in faith. And He wants us to exercise trusting His Word, believing His Word. His Word is exalted. He exalts His Word above His name. So when we trust in His Word, He likes that. God is pleased with that. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He wants us to in faith. That's why the work of God has to be wrought in faith and done in faith. It's not done by just human efforts. It's not just done by machinery and our own human efforts. It's not done by talent or anything like that, or it's not just done in that manner. It's done by faith when we pray and ask God and we say, "God, because this verse says in Matthew 28, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Because your word says so, I'm going to go, Lord. And I'm believing you and I'm trusting you that you said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lord, I'm trusting you." But missionaries cannot go to Venezuela. They don't want Americans. No, all authority is given unto me. All power is given unto me. In heaven and in earth, go there, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. The Lord said, "We're ambassadors." I go in there and I think, the Lord said, "Be an ambassador." You're an ambassador. The United States ambassador was removed from that country. But I come in the kingdom of Christ. I come in faith in the Word of God. Paul said, "We are ambassadors for Christ." And so I come as an ambassador to say, "Let my people go," and to set the captives free. And the only thing that's going to set them free, you know why? You know what's bringing the countries and the nations to perdition? It's deception. That's the weapon of the enemy. Deception, lies, deception and lies. How do we combat that? By the truth, preaching the truth, preaching the Word of God. Preaching the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So the way to combat the enemy's lies and the deception of the world and the falsehood is, and the way to set the captives free is by preaching the truth. You see, so we need to preach the truth of the Word of God and to go and say, this is how the real way to get to heaven. It's not through statues. It's not through images. It's not through idols. A lot of people in our Spanish culture worship idols, worship images. They worship the Virgin Mary and all these things. And I go there and I tell them from the Scriptures, from the Word of God. And I tell them to believe on Jesus Christ and turn from your sins and turn from idols and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the truth, the gospel. You see, God wants us to operate in faith. One man said, "Lord, heal my servant." He was a Roman man, and he said, "Lord, I know about authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he cometh. Lord, but you don't even have to come to my house. Don't come. I'm a sinful man. You don't even have to come. Just heal my servant. I know you can do it. I believe you. Just speak the word only. You don't even have to come. Just say the word, and my servant shall be healed." The Bible says in that moment, first it says that Jesus marveled. It says, and Jesus marveled. He said, "Wow, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel." He said, these Gentiles are having more faith than the Israelites. This Roman and this Syrophoenician woman. And saying, in that very hour, the servant was healed. You see, because the Lord likes faith. He likes faith. And so how about if we take projects and missionary projects and different things, even here, to reach your area and to reach your community, and different things that you would do by faith and say, God, I'm going to go pass out tracts. I'm going to pass out flyers. I'm going to invite people to the church, because the Bible says to go out and witness and be a soul winner. And I'm trusting you and believing you to bring people. One time in one of our meetings in Venezuela, I had a big stadium crusade that appeared in the video with many thousands of people that came. And one of the church members was a teenage boy who's about 18 years old. And a lot of people, they're rebuilding their economy, doing different jobs and stuff. So one of the jobs, because they have a gasoline crisis, is a lot of people are on foot. They don't have cars anymore, or they don't want to go get the gasoline, stay a night. They cannot afford it, maybe. So there's many immigrants who have left, and the immigrants who have left are sending money back to their loved ones. That's why some people manage to get by and get things like cell phones and like different things. So one boy has a motorcycle, and he's a motorcycle taxi. That's his job. That's he's a self-employed motorcycle taxi. So he has a friend who's another motorcycle taxi. And he invited him to church, invited him to the stadium crusade, and he gave him a flyer. And his friend said, oh, I'm not going to be able to come. I can't miss work. They make about $3 a day. He said, I cannot afford. I need every dollar I can get. Every day I can work, I can't miss. So I'll give the flyer back to you. Maybe you can use it to invite somebody else. And so the day of the crusade came, the stadium meeting, and everybody, the whole church was there, and all these visitors and people are coming, and we're starting the service. And next thing you know, this motorcycle taxi shows up, and his friend that goes to church was there and saw him. He said, wait a minute, what are you doing here? I thought you weren't coming. I thought you said you were not able to come. I thought you said you were going to go to work. I'm glad to see you. And he said, what made you change your mind? And he said, well, I had a customer or a client booked, to give him a ride on the motorcycle. I had a client booked, and I told him, where do you want me to go? And he said, take me to the stadium crusade. In fact, I'm going to pay you to take me, going to pay you to wait, going to pay you to go back. You're getting your $3, full day's pay. You got to stay with me the whole time in the crusade. So he said, actually, I am working. Actually, I am on the job still, but I'm here in the service. And he got saved that day. You see, the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You see, the Lord said, if we preach the word of God and by faith, even when man says no, even when they say you can't do it, you're not allowed to, you're not supposed to, it's closed, all this stuff, God still will make a way. When there's faith that's operating, God will make a way. And that's what I want to encourage you. What's happening in your life? What are the hardships in your life? What are the struggles in your life? They might be different. You're in a different context. You're in a different country. You're in a different culture. So your hardships might be different. Maybe you're not like them, where you're waiting for the food truck to bring a grocery bag every week. Maybe you're not like them over there, but you might have a different hardship. You might have a different way of suffering that many people go through that we don't know about. But you see, whatever it is that God's putting you through, trust Him. Keep the faith. Trust Him in faith. Trust the Word of God. Be steadfast in your conviction. God has asked us to tithe and be tithing people. He said, I will rebuke the devourer. If you tithe, even this whole nation, He talks about it could be cursed or it could be blessed, according to our behavior in stewardship. And He talks about giving above and beyond for missions, and that the gospel might go forth, to be partakers and to be fellow helpers to the truth, the Bible says. And so the Word of God tells us. There was a scripture where the Lord said to Peter, the Apostle Peter, been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. All these nets. And the Lord said, put the nets in the water. Well, they just got done cleaning them, taking off all the seaweed and everything, and they have caught nothing all night. And Peter said, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. He's saying, I don't know if we're going to catch anything. I don't know. My faith is very, very little. concerning this net. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Sounds very spiritual, like he was trusting and obeying the Lord, but actually he was only obeying half-heartedly, and he was only obeying, you know, halfway. Why? Because the Lord didn't say, let down the net. The Lord said, let down the nets, with plural. And he just let down one net. And he was just saying, Lord, since you say so, fine, we'll do it. But I don't think we're going to catch anything, but I'll still do it because you said. Well, the Bible says the net break with so many fishes completely packed out that net. They had to call another boat, come over and help us, and come and bring another boat to help them. They couldn't get that net. It was completely packed out with fish in abundance. And Peter said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Depart from me, Lord. Why? Because Peter knew his half-hearted faith. Peter knew that he didn't obey completely. He just obeyed halfway. Just enough to look like he obeyed. But you know why Peter got under conviction? Because if Peter would have put two or three nets in the water, he would have had two or three nets filled with fishes. But he only got one net. You see, so trust the Lord. Of course, Peter said, Lord, forgive me. Jesus said, look, don't worry about it. I'm just trying to teach you a lesson. You know what? Put your nets down. Come follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. But next time I tell you to do something, obey it all. You see, that's a lesson. It was a lesson. Next time, don't obey half-heartedly. Obey it all completely. So sometimes we just obey half-heartedly. We just give just enough to tip God. We just give and just do just enough to make it look like. And God says, I want to see faith. I want to operate in faith. So the nets break. So now from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. No wonder he had the revival of Pentecost, preaching to hundreds and thousands of people. God wants us to reap the harvest, a season of harvest to preach the gospel and to preach the word of God in these many places. And sometimes even unreached people groups, sometimes even tribal village languages that don't have the word of God. Shall I find faith on the earth? The Lord says in his word, have faith in God. Well, I don't have a lot of faith. You know what? You don't have to repeat nothing in your mind. You don't have to say anything. You just have to have the faith like a grain of a mustard seed. If you have little faith, the Lord will do big things. Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Set the captives free. Well, Moses, you ruined it. You're ruining it for us. You're making things worse. Well, if you obey God, you're going to make things worse. You see, but faith is believing God. It's trusting God. It's the way that he is exalted. It's a way that he's glorified. It's a way that he manifests himself. It's a way where God, you know, God told the Israelites, hey, I don't want you to do anything to the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, you know, leave them alone. Don't fight them. God told the Israelites, don't fight the Edomites. They're descendants of Esau, you know, they're distant, removed relatives of Israel. So don't fight them. Don't kill them. Just leave them. Leave them alone. Walk around them. They got to fight the Moabites, but these others, don't fight them. Leave them. I know they're not Israelites, but just leave them. God said, don't touch them. Well, next thing you know, these are coming against Israel in future generations with Jehoshaphat. They're coming against Israel, and they're coming in large numbers by the thousands. And the Israelites are now saying, wait a minute, God told us not to kill them. We could have killed them. We could have finished them off and exterminated them generations previously. But God told us not to do it. So he comes to the Lord and says, the king comes and says, Lord, would you help us? For we know not what to do. Our eyes are upon you, for we know not what to do. And the Lord said, okay, I'll take care of this. So the They bring the choir to come and sing. And the choir, through worship, the Lord is glorified. And those armies are just confused and start fighting each other in confusion and basically just completely defeated by the Lord. You see, God operates in faith. What is your challenge? What is your hardship? What is that obstacle in your life? It's very unique to everybody. We cannot compare, you know, ourselves or compare with other people. Everybody's in a different context. What is your challenge? What is that obstacle? What is that roadblock in your life? And you're trying to grow. You're trying to reach your potential. You're trying to do more. No, grow in faith. Increase your faith. God likes it. See, when David, he said he came up against Goliath, a giant of the Philistines. David said, well, I had killed a bear and I killed a lion. So the Lord, surely he'll help me take on this giant. The Lord already helped me do some things. I know he's with me because he helped me. My faith is in him. The battle is the Lord's. We just obey. We just do what he says. The battle is the Lord's. We do what God says, and it's his word. He will always honor his word. God will always honor his word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, the Bible talks about many, many people doing different things. God says, if the mighty works which were done had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done, they would have remained. They would have still remained. You know what God said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. What are the works that he's talking about? How do we do his works? We do it in faith. That's the work. A work that is wrought in God, wrought through his word, wrought through the principles of the word of God. So when you invite somebody to church, you can look at a Bible passage, find the scripture, and say, Lord, this scripture says right here, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Luke 14:23 says that. So Lord, next time I go out soul winning and invite somebody, I'm claiming that scripture. I'm believing you by faith in that verse. And I'm inviting people, Lord, I expect you to fill your house. Because that's what the word of God says, and I'm working towards that. I'm not just hoping, but I'm working towards that by inviting people. You see, and you exercise faith. You witness to people. The Bible says about soul winning. It talks about being a fisher of men, to be a soul winner. So you exercise by claiming the word of God, by trusting the word of God. Every decision, every choice, not just ministry, every choice, how you do your stewardship and your finances, you find verses in the word of God. Even young people, when they want to get married and seek the will of God for their lives, you find verses in the word of God. Everything is to be supported and backed by scripture, by the word of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed, every head bowed and every eye closed. Lessons of faith. We're saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith, but God said, the just shall live by faith. So we should live a life of faith. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe God spoke to you this morning through the message. I don't know what your hardship is. I don't know what challenges you might have in your life. But maybe you're somebody who says, Brother Carlos, God spoke to me. Pray for me. I want the Lord to increase my faith. Anybody, anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see that. Anybody else say, pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Thank you. Increase my faith, Brother Carlos. Would you pray for me? Lord, increase my faith. Let me be a person of faith. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else say, pray for me? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Faith. Moses. Seeing him who is invisible. with heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, if you'll come at this time, heads bowed and eyes closed, and we can have altar call invitation and prepare for music and so forth.
Faith is not just for a missionary like this brother who's going to a dangerous country as Venezuela. It's for everybody. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Our country needs people, Christians, who live by faith, demonstrating the power of God in their lives, in those who trust him, who rely upon his word. God, work in the hearts of your people this morning. Help us, Lord, to live each and every day by faith, even in the small things, to demonstrate our trust in you, God, our reliance upon you, our submission to you. Speak to the hearts of your people this morning, Father. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, for their forgiveness of their sins, may they understand that you died on the cross to pay the price. And that's the only way to have our sins forgiven, to have the promise of eternal life, is to by putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This church can't save you. This preacher can't save you. Only Jesus Christ. So speak to hearts this morning. If there's one that needs to be saved, may they come. Others that would desire for their faith to be increased, may they come as we sing an hymn of invitation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.